Hello, I'm Daniel. This is my podcast, Sharpening the Mind. I am a meditation teacher and also a labor activist in Kansas City, Missouri. I teach classes in meditation and Buddhism at the Rime Buddhist Center, as well as a few other places. Thank you for listening and have a great day. Hello, I'm going to talk about a teaching called The Four Applications today. The Four Applications. And these are things we do in order to help us transform ourselves when we face adversity, so that we learn how to face our problems with an attitude of, right now it's like this, what can I do? Instead of our normal attitude, which is, why is this happening to me, right? That's my normal attitude. So this is a list of four things. If you're not familiar, Buddhism is really full of lists. So buckle up, because if you hate lists, I'm sorry. Because this is a list of four things, and there's another list within this. So that's how Buddhism is sometimes. So the first application, and there are two of these that kind of have maybe names that I have to bring down to earth, and then two of them that don't feel down to earth at all. And we're going to go over them. Okay, so the first one is gathering accumulations. Gathering accumulations. That sounds wild, right? What are we accumulating? This is about accumulating merit by doing good things, doing good and helping others. It's about cultivating virtue. And this exists in big ways and small. So in The Power of Mind, Khandro Lodrote says, it makes no sense to react to suffering with disturbing emotions and negative actions. Okay? So when things are hard, sometimes, we jump right in making bad choices, right? When things are hard, sometimes we jump right in with making bad choices, you know? And that makes things harder, actually. So normally when we struggle, we're too busy thinking, why me, to make good choices. Zen story. There was a student who went to his master and he said, Master, I'm feeling really discouraged. I feel like I can't accomplish anything. What should I do? The world's too hard. And the master says, go encourage others. Go encourage others. The truth is that lifting people up lifts us up too. Okay? It's easier, though, to make excuses when things are hard. To say, oh, that's I can't do good. The world's fallen, you know? I can't help anybody. There's too much suffering in the world. And we don't want to get in that trap either. We don't want to get in the trap of not doing good because we're lazy. We don't want to get in the trap of not doing good because problems seem too insurmountable. There's a story that our old teacher, Lama Chuck, used to tell that I really like a lot, and I'm going to share it with you. I may get some of the specifics wrong. I didn't write it down or anything, but he told this story once or twice a year, so I've pretty well got it. But there was this guy walking along the beach, and he noticed thousands of starfish had washed up on the shore. Thousands. So, you know, when you see something like that, first you think, wow, a wonder of nature. But then you realize, oh, these starfish are all going to die, right? And so he gets a little closer and he sees this little boy grabbing the starfish and throwing them one by one back into the ocean. He just goes, picks one up, throws it. Goes, picks one up, throws it. And again, there are thousands. So he goes up to the little boy and he says, why are you doing this? There are so many. You can't even hope to make a difference here. What are you doing? And the little boy looks at the man, and he bends down, and he picks up another starfish, and he throws it into the ocean, and he says, it made a difference to that one. It made a difference to that one. And sometimes that's how we feel. The world has so many problems. How can I do good deeds? My good deeds aren't going to make a difference. Yes, they will. even really little things like smiling and saying hi and using someone's name when you're talking to them, those matter. We can be kind and helpful every day. And if we are, it's going to help us face our adversity. We lift everyone up when we lift others up, including ourselves. Okay? Okay. So the second one is called purifying obscurations. And again, like really high-minded language, right? Purifying obscurations. We are working to eliminate our suffering, transform our suffering, maybe not eliminate, by working on our habitual thinking and bad habits that can escalate the suffering of ourselves and others. So we want to learn to pay attention to our actions and to learn how to see where our lives are not a statement of love and compassion. Learn where that's not happening and then try to adjust those. The famous Buddhist teacher Nagarjuna said, and I quote, "The good thing about negative actions is they can be purified. That is, everything is workable." Everything is workable. I'm going to tell you about my habitual thinking of bad habits. I'm going to tell you a little story. This is about how I harmed myself, though, with my obscurations. There could be a lot of stories about harming other people, but I'm going to tell you a story about how my obscurations, my habitual thinking hurt myself, okay? It's called the slow leak story. I've told it before, maybe. You see, there's this Buddhist concept called the second arrow. The second arrow. And that is the idea that when something bad happens, that's like an arrow hitting you. And when you get in your head about it, when you get obsessed about it, when you worry about things you maybe don't even need to worry about, that's like a second arrow. You're ruining your own day, right? I saw a meme that said, "Don't let someone else ruin your day. Ruin your own day." And I like that. But that's what we're talking about. So my story is this. So one time, I had to go somewhere. I was going to my car, and I noticed the tire was a little low. And so I'm like, oh no, the tire's a little low. So I go, and I take my car to Quick Trip with the free air, right? Quick Trip's great. And I fill up my tire, and I go about my day. And the next day, guess what? My tire's low again. So I know I have to take it in. I have to take it in. So I call work. I say, I'm going to be late today. I go get in the car and I go, I know I should go to Discount Tire. Do you guys, it's a great store, Discount Tire. And so I'm going there and immediately I'm telling a story in my head. That story is, I'm going to have to spend a lot of money on a new tire. They probably don't have the tire in stock. They probably have to order it. So I'm going to probably be without a car for like 2.5 days. And I'm going to have to spend a lot of money. I don't know how the kids are going to get to where they need to go. I don't know how many days do I have to take off work? Do I have to Uber to work and spend even more money, right? I don't know how any of this is going to unfold. And I'm really just really stressing out. And so I get there, really stressed out and upset. And you know what happens? They fixed my tire in about 12 minutes. They just had to patch it up and they did it for free because I bought my tires there. So I had gotten myself really worked up about this thing that didn't happen. It was not a problem. The situation was totally workable and I worked through it very easily. Relatable? So that's how I harmed myself. That second arrow was all my emotions and thoughts that I ran through. And you probably have a story like that if you really think about it. So we have this, and here's a list inside a list. This teaching called the Four Powers that are supposed to be the things that help us purify our obscurations. They are regret, resolve, support, and remedy. Okay? So regret. When we do something that's unskillful, there are actually several ways we can improve our behavior. And one way is, of course, to notice we're about to do something and then not do it, right? That's the best. But then the second one is notice while we're doing something and then stop, right? And then the third is to really realize afterward, oh, I shouldn't have done that. And if we can really generate regret, even if it's after the thing has happened, that can be helpful to us. Because it still sort of strengthens those pathways in your brain to not do this. So real regret can help us. It makes us uncomfortable, though, because growing is uncomfortable, right? Growing is uncomfortable. So after that tire incident, I really regretted the way I had ruined my own day. I really regretted it. I didn't look for like reasons to make excuses for the way I ruined my own day. I just regretted it. I just thought, oh my gosh, I hope I do better next time. So the second of the four powers is resolve. And that is just, man, I'm intention setting. I'm committing to not worrying about my tire so much, not worrying about my car so much. You know, to me, the two most stressful things in the world are car problems and daycare problems. Now my kids are older, so they don't go to daycare anymore. I don't have to worry about daycare problems. I sometimes have to worry about school problems, but they're old enough. It's more manageable. But you know, when kids are little, if the kid can't go to daycare, that's a real problem, you know? And daycare is expensive too. I don't like it. So why did I talk about that? So we want to cultivate resolve and really commit to changing our behavior. And that, again, growth is uncomfortable. We don't like to do that. We don't like to commit to changing our behavior because growth is uncomfortable. Because it's easier to make the same comfortable mistakes than to work to change. It's easier. So the third one is support. And Kentrell Lodrote, in the book Power of Mind, he called it support. And I actually wish he would have just called it refuge, because then it would have been the four R's, but it's fine. And I'm going to read to you what he says about it, about support. He says, and I quote, "A refuge is something that we can rely upon to protect us from suffering. Buddhist practitioners take refuge in the Buddhas, the Dharma, and the Sangha of Bodhisattvas. The Buddhas and Bodhisattvas support us, but what directly protects us from suffering is the Dharma, the teachings and actual practices, such as these mind trainings. So the practitioners of mind training can rely on the teachings on relative and ultimate bodhicitta as support." And so we're relying on these teachings that we're studying right now. And I'm going to read to you, I apologize for reading to you some more, but I'm going to read you a quote from this book, Awakening Together by Larry Yang, The Spiritual Practice of Inclusivity and Community, because I really like what he has to say about refuge, okay? He says, and I quote, "In Buddhist practice, these three safeguards of our path to freedom are described as refuge in the Buddha, the capacity for human life to become free from suffering and awaken to its true nature, refuge in the Dharma, assured guidance through teachings, practices, and experiences that have been time-tested by generations of previous practitioners, and refuge in the Sangha, a community of like-hearted and like-minded spiritual friends and companions who support each other's growth on the spiritual path. We are able to find refuge in these potentials of our human lives because ultimately, these teachings make us more at ease with ourselves, our lives, each other, and the world." There's freedom in that sense of ease. You know, a long time ago, I used to hang out with this guy who, he made fun of people all the time. He made fun of people just all the time. Like, he had a really negative outlook. And you know what happened from spending time with this guy is some of that seeped into me. Well, that's not what I want, right? I want a positive outlook, and I want to associate people who are interested in growth because that helps me grow, right? Hanging out, spending time with the people that have the same goals as you makes your goals easier. I believe that. So that's why we're here. That's why we have this spiritual community here, because spending time with like-minded people helps us. So what about these last two of the four applications? They're kind of tied together. And there was definitely a time in my practice where I would not have wanted to explore these. And you'll find out why very quickly. So the third one is called Offering Tormas to Gods and Demons. What? Right? So some people come to Buddhism because they're like, I don't want to hear about gods and demons anymore. That's a thing. People come to Buddhism for that reason. And so tormas, first of all, are offerings, food offerings generally. So you go to a statue and you put a fruit in front of it or some rice or whatever. The traditional teaching is that these beings are real. And that offerings will make us leave, they make them leave, not bother us, make them leave us alone. I don't make a food offering at home, but I do. I offer incense in my daily practice. I light that every day. And I do some chants. And I think it helps me settle into my meditation practice. I think it helps me. Also, that kind of familiarity. It makes the whole thing more familiar, which helps with it when adversity's happening. Sometimes the familiar is what we need, you know? Comforting. It's comforting. I used to really consider myself sort of allergic to these kinds of teachings, though. Like, I don't really want to learn about gods and demons, right? And maybe you're like that, and maybe you're not, but to me, the point is it helps me settle into the meditation practice, makes it more familiar and comforting. And for a long time, this offerings didn't mean a lot to me. But now I think it sort of helps me. My attitude toward it has softened. So it sort of helps me settle in. And the last one is offering tormas again. Offering tormas to dakinis and dharma protectors. So these are aspirational figures. And I see this as intention setting. So these are beings that embody wisdom and compassion, like the ones behind me here. We want to connect with our potential, and this is a method for doing that. I aspire to be, may I quickly become Chinrizi, right? I aspire to be an embodiment of compassion and wisdom. I aspire to that. And if making offerings to them helps us feel a connection to them, then that can supercharge our efforts to transform ourselves. It can supercharge our efforts. So those are the four applications, and I hope this talk has been helpful.
Thank you for listening, and have a good day.